Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot. I'm
if you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? I don't want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat
scratch
fever.
Another year, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. Yeah, I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're going to find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. It's good times in Pantherland. We are sitting at 3-0. We got plenty to talk about tonight, including another victory over the Saints, upping our record to 22-19 against those assholes from the Bayou. Now I guess they're all okay. Some of them are, anyway. But man, we got obviously the big news: Jared Allen traded from the Bears. The Bears love to give us good players, I think. So we give them some every now and again. So we'll be talking about that and, of course, previewing the next game. And, you know, we've got some other news, some more sadder news on loss of player, particularly Charles Johnson. But, you know, here's how it works as usual. I'm going to look at my callers. You know, certainly people are welcome to call in and just listen. But if you want to join the call, I'll give everybody a shot to at least make a statement, a point, ask a question, anything like that. And, you know, I got my little trusty list of phone numbers here of people who've called in. So if you've called in before, like this guy, Parmenides, you know, I'll give you a chance to chime
Hello.
In, man. What's up, Parm? What's up, Big Parm?
Oh, not much. Enjoyed watching the game. I know, you know, a win is a win, but it does look like the fact that Drew Brees has been a good quarterback has hidden the fact that that team is dying. That in the last 2 years, it's likely they would have had losing seasons without him completely. And they're just going on a hard decline. So I'm not quite as happy about the victory as I could be because, you know, when you beat a really good team, then you're like, all right, we're awesome. But that team is not good.
Yeah.
But no, I'm
willing
to
ride our...
No, they're
missing some players. And you know, they still gave us a run for our money, though, that's for sure. Came down to that final pass. I mean, what a hell of a play by Josh Norman, man. I about jumped out of my chair.
Yeah. Well, there's a good article on Football Outsiders that looks at that play. And McCowan had two open players that would have gotten him a first down had he not thrown that ball. So that was just a stupid throw on his part. You know, but the fact
is I've been surprised. Just one second. I've been surprised at how much teams are throwing at Josh Norman. All three games. They've challenged him. I got to think they're going to stop doing it sooner or later.
Well, they're going to have to. The other question is whether he's baiting them into it. I mean, maybe he's gotten good enough that he plays a game where he just baits quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I don't have enough film study to be able to look at what he's doing, but, you know, maybe it's scheme dependent. It's who knows? Or it's just – I mean, we haven't exactly played a bunch of great quarterbacks at this point. So right. Whether they're completely clued into what exactly they're doing when they're challenging our best cornerback might not be very clear.
Yeah.
But I am more than willing to ride our incredibly weak schedule to the playoffs.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, it is rated kind of weak, but, you know, once you're three games in, certain games look tougher than they did before and others look a lot easier.
That's true. The Atlanta Falcons look like they have about the weakest schedule I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it does look like the Patriots could go 16-0 just on the basis of their schedule alone. not just because they're a good team, but they've got – I mean, they play the NFC East, which is appearing to, you know, try to turn itself into the largest dumpster fire on earth. They get to play the Dolphins twice.
Well, now you're hitting, you know, when we get to the NFL piece, you know, we're three games in, and, you know, when we get to our fantasy discussion, there's a couple things that themes that I grabbed onto when I was drafting that have just gone to shit for me and why I'm, like, losing in 4 out of 5 of my fantasy leagues. One was Miami. offense.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought they were going to put some points up. I didn't really bank on their defense, but I thought, well, the defense is going to be good. They'll get the ball a lot. Their defense has sucked. What happened there? C.J. Anderson was another one. I took him in the first round in a couple drafts. He has sucked. Yeah. So...
See, I play in a keeper league where just about every great running back was taken by the time I picked 5th. And so I just grabbed Aaron Rodgers in the 1st because I was like, he'll give me 30 points a game, which has turned out to be good. But then, you know, later on I was like, Alfred Morris, who else does Washington have at running back? Apparently other people.
Yeah, so right now, after about 3 games, you're already smelling your draft bus. But let's see. Well, so, Parm, appreciate you dialing in. I'll loop back around to you here. I got a few more out on the line here. Let's see if I recognize. Yeah, this looks like Chris.
Oh, hey, Jackson.
What's up, Chris?
What's up? Not a whole lot. Talking about draft bus.
Yeah, I guess that'd get me really excited here. But I guess, you know, we're here to talk Panthers. So,
yeah.
You know, Jared Allen is a big deal. How many sacks you think Jared's going to put up in these 13 remaining games for us?
I'd like to see at least 6. I feel like that's, like, because with CJ out now for, like, almost half the year, if even half, like, 8 games or something, I believe, 7, 8 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing I didn't even think about is, somebody brought this up, is that Ely seemed to play better on the in CJ's side. I don't know if you call that the left or the right. I guess really the left side. And that Jared Allen would prefer to play on the right side. So he'll, you know, he's going to take Hardy's old spot, and Ely's going to switch over to the other side. That's my thought.
Yeah.
I'd like to see
right.
more than 6 sacks, though. I mean, again, I'm a homer, and I'm really thinking he's going to play against some bad left tackles. And so, you know, he may get shut out a couple games, but, you know, he could also, you know, be like Greg Hardy, where you get, you know, half, you know, 3/4 of your sacks in 3 games or 4 games. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, we also have
I'd like to see at least 8. I think he's got it in him.
I feel like we're going to get quite a few out of Shaq and TD. Like just one a game from that pairing. Like I feel like that's very possible.
Well, I just definitely think that with our defensive tackles and Kawan Short, that Allen, you know, provides that that speed rush that we really were missing up to this point, because, you know, Charles Johnson's more of a bull rusher technique. You know, Ely was going to, in that same mold, he's definitely not a fly around edge rusher. And then you got Addison, but, you know, he's only in there on third and long. So, I'm hopeful that he's going to be the element. I tell you, right now, we'd all be freaking out if Gettleman hadn't made that trade before we even realized how bad CJ was hurt. So, I mean, he must have just tore that hamstring up.
Yeah.
So, what's your hot button tonight, Chris? You
Well, the NFC doesn't suck anymore. The NFC South, I mean.
No, I mean, you know, the Falcons are 3-0, but they've certainly beat better quality teams than we've played.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the Eagles and Giants. Like, Dallas without Romo and Dez is kind of like us without Cam.
Without Romo and Dez, you're right. I mean, it just still, they beat what, I couldn't remember who they beat the first game, but yeah, it was the Giants.
And Philadelphia.
And then the Eagles, and then Dallas. I mean, they've just ripped right through the NFC East.
Yeah.
We've destroyed half of the AFC South. Jacksonville, and I mean, we do have, you know, the whole division's got a pretty easy schedule with the way the divisions are laying out, because the NFC East isn't looking tough at all, especially with these injuries.
Yeah,
the Eagles is another team that, what the hell? I mean, okay, Chip, you might have invested a little too much faith in Sam Bradford. Oh, I don't know about that guy. All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate you calling in. Just hang on here. I might have someone else out here. Oh, no, that's a no talk. Well, let's give him a shot. Area code 828-748 if you want to join the call. Now's the time. Just going to listen. Fair enough. Let's take a dive out to the old chat box. I know Arbitrary Mike was out there. CJ's gone for 8 weeks, I have found. It's not 8 games. I wasn't too sure about that. So he's only actually going to miss 7 games. He'll be back for game 11 on Thanksgiving Day. So it's going to be CJ getting back on the field and us seeing Greg Hardy in a Dallas uniform. Which I don't know how he's doing over there. I really haven't heard anything out of it, so makes me think that maybe he's not quite lighting it up over there just yet.
He's not playing yet.
Oh yeah, he missed. Was it 4 games now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got reduced. No wonder. Yeah. I guess they could use him. Didn't they lose Randy Gregory? And they lost 2 of their pass rushers, I think.
Yeah, so we'll see him after, but when we play the Seahawks, then that'll be his, whoever they're playing that week.
But let's see. I guess moving back to the Saints game, I'll tell you, that first half, man, just what the hell was up with us not being able to stop McCown? Just ripped us in the first half. Just dinking and dunking. I mean, he was on it. I give him props for, you know, nailing the passes.
Yeah, he killed us with just, like, short passes.
Dunks. Yeah. They were 4-6 on third down.
They were playing some very interesting route combinations that I think without Keekly being able to diagnose, without and us playing off to to figure out what in the world was going on, because I mean, how do you game plan for a quarterback who hasn't played in how many years has he before he's played a game? 2007.
Yeah,
it's been a while. Yeah.
There's just no functional way to game plan for that. So we played our off coverage and allowed the short throw, and he apparently can hit the short throw over and over again with complete accuracy.
Yeah.
So I don't know why his brother has played over and over again in a starting position and he hasn't.
Yeah, I can't believe what Josh McCown did in Tampa last year that made the Cleveland Browns go, gee, let's make him our quarterback.
It is the Browns. They have a very creative way of evaluating talent.
Well, I think it's because he's old enough to get a call.
Yeah. I was surprised that got legs nationwide, that whole thing. I mean, when I brought in post on it, because I just thought it was funny, and I really kind of thought it was a joke, didn't really think it was that big a deal, but then I couldn't believe, you know, when you actually saw the GIF, I mean, Hockley wasn't laughing, he wasn't smiling, it wasn't acting like he was making a joke. But I don't know, I just want to get Luke Kuechly back on the field.
Yeah, well, we'll have him next game. I can't imagine that he's not going to come out of the concussion protocol. But I like the fact that, I mean, the fact is it's good for players to when they have a concussion that bad, to not get back on the field until, and not practice, until their bell isn't rung anymore. Because, I mean, we're watching... What team, I saw this just recently, that Wes Welker was trying out for the Giants, or they were looking at him, and I keep wanting to tell Wes Welker to, like, stop playing so his brain doesn't come out of his ears by the time he's 50.
Yeah, dude has had a few concussions.
There's just no good reason that he needs to continue to play. But... And so, the fact is that Luke's wasn't necessary for these games. I mean, the fact is, what he's really necessary for is the Seattle game. He would have been nice.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have ever seen the amount of passes completed had he been in the game, because he would have, I think, you know, half of his value is just his ability to sit there and tell everybody else what to do.
Yeah.
But at the exact same time, you know, having him out for these two games, the last two games, has not been as detrimental as it would be when we get to the next fourth, you know, the next, fourth of the season, where we actually play teams that are vaguely competent, though Seattle has seemed only mildly competent.
Yep. I was just looking in the game book. I haven't done that post yet, but Cam. Oh, that was for the first half. All right, he had one of the highest quarterback ratings I've seen him have as a pro. Had 123 in the first half. Finished with a 119. That's about as good as it gets for Cam Newton. For a full game. Throwing the ball down the field, I liked it. Ted Ginn hung on to one. What the hell? I mean,
but
we only had a couple drops.
Yeah, but those were later. He seemed to have a really good completion rate until about the end of the game.
Yeah.
But the charting notes on Football Outsiders for their DYAR, don't ask me to say what that means, indicates that basically inside the 20, he threw Yeah, seven passes. Six of them were to Greg Olsen. And when he was throwing, he went 6 of 7 for 154 yards on inside the 20, our 20.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was throwing to the left, so whoever their cornerback on the right was, he went 7 of 11 for 171 yards. So this was a combination of defense and actually, and admittedly, when I was watching, he was a lot crisper than I've seen him in a game in a while.
Yeah.
Stepping into throws, throwing them straight, everything like that.
Yeah. The two starting cornerbacks was Bro, like a D, Bro, like a Louisiana spelling, B-R-E-A-U-X.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swan. I've never heard of either one of them. So, oh, and Browner. So they're probably working away from Browner, but I don't know. I know Browner got beat on at least one long play.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember him tackling the guy. I think it was the Ted Ginn thing.
Yeah. But Cam Newton was fourth in that counting stat that they've got.
Who?
Cam Newton was fourth in that counting stat that they've got for all quarterbacks last week.
Cool. I just realized, Philly Brown didn't have a catch. Didn't have a target in that game. He got a carry, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I guess, you know, talking about player grades, PFF's taking some, you know, I put up the grades today, but they're taking a beating today here when they put out the negative 0.8 grade on Aaron Rodgers after he threw for 5 touchdowns. And, yeah, I read their explanation, and I mean, I guess I can see it, but, you know, okay, so these 3 passes, they are just really easy passes, apparently, is what they're saying. We expect you just to make that pass and lead him or whatever, and so it wasn't a positive play. And I'm just like, you know, it was only a touchdown because of the efforts of the receiver. You know, it was just a short pass, and then the receiver turned it into yak, you know, and scored.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I get that, but still, it seems like you could throw a point or two in there. I mean, when you get done looking at it and you go, okay, I'm coming up with a negative 0.8. Hey, everybody, let's throw Aaron half a point for those 3 touchdowns and get it to a 1.5 so we don't catch a bunch of damn flack. I mean, come on, how do you do that? You know, it just... I like their grades.
Well, I mean,
I can see their reasoning
where they're trying to disaggregate the quarterback effort to the receiver effort. So if you chuck a 5-yard pass and the receiver goes for 20 yards,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
who did
I mean,
what?
They're just trying to, you know, put
the
credit where it belongs. But at the same time, when you get quarterback 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, you know, big win, and you're saying that he had a negative performance. You know, sometimes you just got to give it the sniff test. that just didn't pass. Oh, let's see. We got Trufant on the line. What's going on, man? Trufant, unmute. If you want to talk, don't have to talk. Got your number.
Hey, guys,
you know.
How's it going?
Hey, man.
All righty. Hope everyone had a fun time. I was able to get to the game, saw it live.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty impressive. Thankfully, we only held off just enough.
Were you worried at the end?
A little bit. All the way up until the Norman interception. That was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it was. It was. I'm sure they heard me down the block.
Yes. I echo your sentiments about Cam. That's probably, it's probably the best game I've seen him play, I would say, probably in the last couple of years, either.
He wasn't sailing passes like he's prone to do.
You know, had one,
I think actually he could have probably ran a few more times. But I'll tell you, that touchdown he did score running, that was just a thing of beauty, man. He just, you see the, he pulls that ball back like he's going to throw it, and the DB just turns around and goes after Olsen, just letting him walk right in. It's like, wow.
Yes. And the thing is, he didn't start bootlegging until last year. That was something, I remember reading the article, the first 3 years that he wasn't able or wasn't comfortable at least throwing out of that off the bootleg, but they didn't boot him. And it really wasn't until last year that they started that. Of course, he was injured. So, but all this stuff like that was something that, you know, once he got to the point of being able to do that, and he was going to be a super threat in the red zone other than just the straight dive play. Because he did the same thing last year against Cleveland for a touchdown, except he booted to the right side. So Cleveland rolls it out every once in a while. Can't do it all the time, but you need to have a threat of it in the red zone.
Definitely.
So super excited about the Jared Allen trade.
I think he's going to play well for us.
He
doesn't have to come in, and he's not going to be the main focus of the offense like he was in Chicago and even Minnesota, in that he was the guy. He doesn't have to be that, because we can bring pressure from all directions, and we're not just relying on Jared Allen. So, you know, I'm hoping he won't have as much pressure on him. Outside of just wanting to do well with his new team.
I just think, overall he's a better technician and a better motor guy than what you can get out of Coney Healy at right defensive end. And seeing Rivera's comments about Healy being able to switch over to a more natural position of left defensive end, I think that's pretty accurate, at least given Healy's skill set. He's not a guy who has an incredible first step, or a physical skill set that says, okay, you have to do something really special to stop this guy.
Okay. You're talking about putting Ely on the right tackle.
Ely on the right tackle at the left defensive end. Jared Allen has basically been a right defensive end pretty much his entire career. I went back and looked at his stats and his and tracking him over on Pro Football Reference. So he's constantly been going up against left tackles, against the best. For the best. And has been one of the best with 134 career sacks and a boatload of pressure. The other thing that I saw last year, he had a bout with pneumonia. He hadn't missed a game since 2007, but that pneumonia bout caused him to miss a game. He lost 18 pounds. This was like, September 30th last year. So he came back from that. Still finished up with 5.5 sacks and like 20 quarterback hits and 32 quarterback pressures. Some folks were like, okay, he was slowing down in 2014. Well, not quite. He battled through a good little bit of that physical adversity there with pneumonia. That's not going to play well. So, especially not losing 18 pounds in the middle of football season. So.
No doubt. Well, he's just got that nonstop motor. The guy just doesn't stop, and he's fast on the edge. He's wily. I look forward to seeing what he can do, and I'm glad to see he's going to be on the right side. I think Ely is better suited for the left side.
Yep, I think that's accurate. So, and the other thing, too, if Luke comes back, and I still haven't heard anything about the the final step of the succession protocol. I guess was, you know, we're all waiting. But, you know, him coming back, you know, completely changed the dynamic of the defense. And even the pressure side of the defense, you know, I was chatting with somebody on the board on that. Because that was, I think it was in the first half of the Jacksonville game before he went out. And it was there was just a couple of weird alignments on third down where, you know, instead of just the standard rush four, you know, drop back in the zone, McDermott had the guys, you know, moving around, standing up. Next thing you know, it was just two guys. There were two down linemen, and everyone else was moving. I was like, okay, what in the world is going on here? And then all of a sudden, you see this pressure coming from different angles. And, you know, pretty much confused Bortles. They just barely missed the sack, but they tackled right at the line of scrimmage. But that was more along the lines of Jim Johnson style blitz setup. And that's the system that Sean McDermott came from. He hasn't been doing a lot of that since he's been the coordinator here at Carolina. But one of the big staples of the Johnson system was the cornerback play, because for most of his time he had Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor, and Al Harris as his slot back, and they were together for like 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, 2013, our cornerback play wasn't that good. We start out with Captain Mullen and Josh Thomas and Big Drayton Florence off the street, and it really wasn't until the end of last year where we started getting solid cornerback play with Josh Norman and Brenevin Rickard. Coming in this year, I think McDermott has a little bit more confidence in his corner play. He has a safety in Kirk Coleman that he's comfortable enough with the system to blitz a little bit. We saw that at the end of the New Orleans game. So, but combine that with Keekly, I didn't see him blitzing A.J. Klein as much. You know, A.J. play solid, but in that type of scheme, there's some limitations in being able to move, recover, you know, and handle different assignments, you know, if you're blitzing people from odd angles. Luke is much more capable of handling some of those odd assignments with the blitz packages. So I expect to see a little bit more blitzing. And the other thing with the Jim Johnson system, Hugh Douglas was the right defensive end for a number of years, and was playing at Pro Bowl level. So even within that, you still have to have some staples there. And so he inserted Jared Allen in as a solid pass rusher in addition to the DTs, Riffle-Lute, solid corner play, you know, a Kirk Coleman who can, you know, kind of play the Brian Dawkins role a little bit. And you may see some more blitzing in addition to Thomas Davis and Jack Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
So this may become a much more fun defense to watch, I think.
I think we'll be able to get back to a lot of what we did in 2013, where what you really saw was defensive ends looping around to get through the A-gap. You saw a lot of movement after the snap on the defensive line, where it wasn't necessarily a straight pass rush,
yeah.
And I think that's something that Rivera really likes to do, in order to mix up the pressure without sacrificing necessarily, because you know cornerback blitzes can be really good as long as you dial them up at the right time, but they can bite you they can bite you pretty hard.
Oh yeah.
Oh, agreed.
So, I mean, so what you've got, I think, is a combination of some of the different gap ideas from a Jim Johnson defense, with a little bit of the zone defense that we do a bit, but we do it a lot more on the defensive line than we do it with straight blitzes.
How about that? See, Kaiser, I see you're out on the line. I'll get you open here in just a minute. Did you guys see that the Panthers brought in several punters today and worked them out? I saw that on Twitter, Jonathan Jones. They didn't end up signing any of them, but Jones speculated that Rivera was just sending a message to Nortman about out-punting his coverage.
That was an awful kick.
Yeah. Hey, Brad, I don't really need you to punt today. Just go sit over there and watch. Don't watch these guys kick. You're like, all right, coach, I'll punt it out of bounds next time. Nothing pisses me off more than special teams screw-ups, because, you know, it's hard enough scoring points and, you know, playing defense just to have, you know, one play make it all for naught. So let's see. I just looked up some stats I wanted to go over real quick, not from the game book, but actually Football Outsiders, and I saw, you know, they got their DVOA, which, you know, after three games, you start to get enough stats to compile something meaningful. And the Panthers are 8th overall, 9th in offense, and 4th in defense, but then 30th in special teams. God, man. You know, I mean, look, two block kicks. We can't cover a kick to save our damn life sometimes. But the only thing good about special teams has been the touchbacks.
Well, that's a saving grace at this point. Kick it out of bounds and through the uprights. That way they don't have a chance.
Well, Teddy's being pretty good at punt returns, I would say. I haven't really looked at the rankings, but I'll bet he's probably doing okay with punt returns. At least, you know, it's not a worry whether he's going to catch the damn ball every time it's punted like we've had the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So,
well, just remember,
that.
with the stats they've got right now, they don't have any opponent adjustments in them. They don't put opponent adjustments until the fourth week.
Yeah.
So it's really VOA, because it doesn't have the defensive shift in it.
Oh, okay. I did not even pick that up. They're still calling it DVOA.
Yeah, they do
I didn't get that far down in the article. It's like way down in there.
Yeah.
There's no, opponent adjustments until after week 4. It still lists as DVA instead of VOA. Because I don't want to go through and change all the tables. Oh, that's good.
Well, they make all their money through their ESPN articles, but I don't think they really make that much money from the articles that they throw on the site. So they're like, there's only so much work I'm willing to do.
Yeah.
But just to let everybody know.
Well, you're probably right. With opponent adjustments, we probably would be lower, I would bet.
Yeah, but everybody's going to – I mean, a lot of teams are going to be lower, and it's going to shift everything around pretty heavily.
You know, but the Texans and the Jags have gone on to win a game. So.
And then the Jags
played
also
3-0-3
destroyed.
Yeah. What?
And then the Jags went ahead and got destroyed by New England.
Yeah, well, shit happens.
Yeah.
When you go to New England.
But they do have. They're gonna be doing a really good series of articles on. They have a whole bunch of data sitting around that they're gonna be chopping up on injuries. And looking at a lot of, time series of injuries, whether they happen in first, second, third weeks, and so on and forth. Then looking at, you know, they've talked about looking at them in terms of turf and what stadiums. And then maybe looking at them on a team basis.
Mm-hmm.
And saying what teams tend to have statistically relevant types of injuries and things like that. Because I put a message on there that asked him whether they could do that, and he said maybe we could do it with raw statistics, with raw injury rates on coach-specific and start looking at whether there's particular teams under coaches that have worse injury rates than others.
Yeah, Ted Ginn's averaging 12.9 yards a return. That's shit. That's like double what we had last year.
How do you double zero?
Well, that's true. I was thinking we had about a half a yard average. So
I seem to remember lots of fair catches, and then just praying that Brenton Burton would actually catch the ball.
I mean, Ted got 6 fair catches. He does fair catch a good bit. There's been a couple that I thought he should have returned. But, yeah, 12.9, which if you, you know, take away the guys that only have, like, 1 or 2 returns, it's probably good for around 10th. Well, that's pretty good. And, crap, I'll bet we haven't done how many kick returns have we had? We haven't even really done that many, I don't think. Oh, Fozzie's way up there. His 1 kick return for 33 yards. That's what I thought. I didn't think we'd brought the ball out much on kickoffs. Oh, yeah, look at that. 1 return. That kind of freaks me out.
I think the only time we've returned it out is that 1 kick that didn't even hit the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah, and Fozzie brought it out because I don't see another Carolina player on the list. Interesting. All right. Well, let's see. I promised Kaiser I'd get to him. What's up, Kaiser? Appreciate you holding.
Hey, what's going on, Jack?
What's up, man?
Oh man!
Did you enjoy that game?
I watched it. I just realized, you know, as long as we go with defensive coaches, they're gonna always be the cardiac catch, and my heart probably gonna give out on me by the time I'm 50. it's ridiculous. I literally have no time to even gloat before the new games come on at the bar. No time at all to gloat, walk around and strut with my peacock feathers out because I'm so nervous they're going to blow it right at the end every time.
I was starting to have visions of that myself there. I was like going, oh, my God, if he comes down here and scores a touchdown, I'm going to pull my damn hair out.
But I
said, look, if the game's on the line, I'd rather have the defense on the field than the offense.
This is true.
God, man, Josh Norman's just been a playmaker.
Oh man, we're lucky to have the guy. I do think that if we can get healthy, and right now it looks like a big if, but if we can get healthy, and everybody on the field at the same time gelling, I think that defense has the potential to be top three. I don't know if they'll make it there now, you know, the way things are now with Luke and I'm not sure how bad TD's pec injury was, but, you know, but if everybody can get healthy with the addition of Jared Allen, with who I think is actually going to do a lot of good things out there, to be honest with you. I could see if you fell off playing your natural position, but pretty much fell off being moved into a different position. So, yeah, I don't really look at last year as a
mm-hmm.
a precursor of who he is as a player right now.
Hmm.
You know, so I think he can actually put up close to double digits again for us because the difference is, and I think I heard somebody mention it earlier, he's not going to be the focal point on this defense. You have to worry about Star. You have to worry about Luke. You have to worry about all these other mm-hmm. guys, and you just don't have enough men on the field to put 2 guys on Jared Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just going to put your right tackle out there and get him one-on-one, and your running back's probably going to be more worried about what's coming straight up the middle than
right.
what's coming on the edges.
Yeah.
So, I think it's going to be a good addition. The guy just plays like an animal. He's only 34. I mean, I know he's been around a good while, 34, but shoot, he could still play two more seasons, three more seasons, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And now he's been somewhat of a liability in the run game from what I hear from previous teams he's been on, but he hasn't had this type of front seven, you know, that they can make up for what's going on in a sideline-to-sideline play that you get from TD and Luke, you know. So I think they can help mask what deficiencies he does have in the run game. You know, so I really think he's going to shine, to be honest with you here. I think it'll be a rejuvenation of his career for maybe a year or two.
Yeah, so Josh has obviously had two interceptions, tied for the NFL lead with a dozen other guys. But seven passes defensed, that's third, tied for third in the league. So
he's looking good. I think he's making himself a very rich man right now.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's not making garbage time plays padding his stats.
Right.
He's making plays at crunch time with the game on the line.
And just looking at his interviews post-game just seems like his whole conversations have matured a lot over the past year or so. And I just think he knows what he's doing right now, the show he's putting on, that he's going to get a lot of money because of it, and he's just keeping his nose clean. And, you know, good for him. I'm happy for the guy.
I just hope we sign him. Now, I'll tell you, I didn't really care that much. I mean, I always figured he was good, but, God, now he's, you know, if he is a bit of a loose cannon on the roster, well, we're kind of used to those with Steve Smith. I don't think he's quite in that category yet. So, hell yeah, sign the kid up. $10 million a season, hell, he's practically won two games for us. I mean, the pick six against the Jags was, you know, really put that game away.
Yeah.
So, and then he forced a fumble against the Texans.
Yeah. He's made big plays every game.
Yeah, every game. So, I mean, I figured he'd have a good season, but now somebody's mentioned about the his interception was on Football Outsiders. I can't find that, though. I'd like to read that. But
it was on
Clutch Encounters, I think that's the one.
It was on the article called Clutch Encounters Week 3.
Clutch Encounters.
And so it's farther down the article, and they've got a screenshot of the way the play was.
Clutch Encounters. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, they have the Clutch Encounters of the winning kind and Clutch Encounters of the losing kind. And you can guess where the interception is.
Clutch Encounters of the losing kind. Oh, actually, I figured we'd be on the winning side, but I guess they're dogging on Drew Brees. Okay. Yeah. So I see what you're saying, though, that he had two other players open.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't that bad of a pass, really. It was only about a foot short.
No, it was a perfectly good pass. It was just
completely
covered.
Norman just and not only got a beat on it so quick, but just to high point it like he did and just bring it in. I mean, damn.
No, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I'd love to see. I mean, there's lots of articles right now about who can cover Julio Jones. And I keep wanting to write in, well, Josh Norman's done it pretty well in the past year.
Yeah, I said this in a post today. Sunday night, I'm sitting here at home watching Sunday night football, and I literally wanted to puke with Chris Collinsworth just slobbering all over Aqib Talib, you know, the best quarterback in the country. Whatever.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Ice up. I totally forgot that's who Smitty said that to. Well, Smitty's tearing it up, ain't he?
Oh, good Lord.
We could sure
I
use him.
I picked him up on fantasy on the basis that I was like, he'll give me 8 games. And I'm like, well, this is the best 8-game possibility I could have imagined. I mean, 30 points last week.
Yep. Let's see. I got John out on the phone. John, I'll get your way here shortly. So, where else we need to go here? Guess back on this. I'm looking at some of these stats from the game. And I'm just. I mean, he had Olsen, and they were showing. They were just letting Olsen run free in the first half. They clamped down on him later, but you know, we ended up, 5 of 11 on third down, 45%. Not too bad for us, really. But it was, unlike the Texan game, we definitely missed Luke Kuechly in this game. I think he would have had a little better coverage on some of those short patterns and crossing routes that they were killing us on early. But we finally tightened up a little bit. Took a while. Very much like the play of Shaq Thompson, the rookie. He looks like he's going to be a beast for a while.
Now he's moving forward. He's got a lot to learn, but I think he is definitely going to be, if he stays healthy, a linebacker for the next 8 years or so. For us.
Yeah.
Of course, as somebody commented, the fact that we have 3 first-round picks on our linebacking core does help that the fact of how good it is.
Yeah. Well, you got to nail those picks. Watching Eric Fisher play for the Chiefs last night was, God, glad we didn't blow our number one overall. So, all right, John, I got you on the line now. Got your mic open.
Hello. Another win.
Another win.
I just hope we can keep finally get everyone healthy.
Well, we got to, I think a lot of people, even the most pessimistic Panther fans, would have thought that we would win at least 3 of these first 4. So hopefully we'll go down to Tampa and take care of business. You know, Cam hasn't played Tampa since 2013.
the thing about it is we won, and I don't think we played decent football yet.
Yeah.
Really and truthfully, they haven't put together anything close to a full game.
Definitely would agree with that.
I saw something on ESPN this evening. They were putting together the parts to make the ideal backup quarterback, and they had a list up on the board. Anderson wasn't even on there. That's a joke.
I don't get that. Unless, they said, at the very end, they said, Well, we didn't include Derek Anderson on here because half the league would actually like him to start for them.
Yeah, he's not an ideal backup.
I mean, seriously, you wouldn't start him in Cleveland right now over whatever the hell they got going on up there?
Well, Manziel or... Now, put him back on the bench.
Heck, don't you think that Tampa Bay would love to have a quarterback like him to sit Winston behind for a while?
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably. Probably. Hell, I bet Chip Kelly would take him in Philadelphia over Sam Bradford.
He can run.
Beat out Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo. I mean, actually, Tyrod's playing better than I thought he would. But, you know, I was watching it Monday night with a friend of mine that's a Ravens fan. He goes, well, Tyrod, you know, he's just been stuck behind Flacco. He's like, but he played well every preseason they had him in there. But he was stuck for four seasons behind Flacco. So, getting his chance. But, yeah, you make a good point. Derek Anderson should be in every conversation about a good backup, and he just doesn't even get mentioned a lot of times. So,
they don't even look. I don't believe that the media or in particular the ESPN group, I don't even think they even look at the Panthers game or even have any idea what goes on.
Yeah. Well, I will say something. You know, the offense played a lot better. They didn't get such a – even though they only got one possession in the first quarter because the defense couldn't get off the field – but, you know, second possession, touchdown, then they got a field goal, then they punt, then a touchdown, field goal, touchdown. I mean, they were putting points on the board when they got the ball, but the only thing I could say is there at the end, when you're trying to solidify the game, you go 2-3 and outs.
Well, we can't do an inside run to save our life, which is what is our bread and butter in terms of killing the clock on that type of situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not thinking that it's a running back issue. I think it's an offensive line issue.
We're not quite as great at run blocking as we'd like to be.
There's at least 7 or 8 people within 5 yards, sometimes more than that, the line of scrimmage. It's hard to run in that situation.
Yeah. Yep.
But the offensive line could do a better job. I think they're getting better, but they're not quite there yet.
Yeah. They're getting there.
Now, in terms of pass blocking, they're a million times better than they were last year.
Yes. I agree. I think that Darrell Williams, Rimmers has done a great job. Orr has done decent. I just don't think either one of them is what you call great run blockers.
Yeah.
So, it's sort of a, you know, damned if you do and damned if you don't as far as changing them out. Of course, Williams isn't healthy yet. Still better.
Well, I'm just reading some stuff here on this Football Outsiders. I hadn't been out there in a little while. I got a lot of good stuff up here. So...
Well, you know what the most fun thing I can think about in terms of this trade for Jared Allen is that on 3rd and long, we can put Tony Ealy, Jared Allen, Mario Addison, and Kaywon Short on the line and rush the crap out of the passer.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't had a personnel set that we could do that for the last year, and now with Jared Allen, we've got that now. So this is
So this actually opens up a couple wrinkles in respect to third and long that we didn't have previously. Unless we're playing John Fox, in which he does a draw play.
Getting some weird feedback. Unless somebody's outside now. Yep, that's better.
Has been said about the far as Harper being replaced by Boston.
It definitely happened during the game, and I'm glad you brought that up. Let me look here. So Boston came in for 15 snaps. Harper's usually one of the top guys. Yeah, he's there 55. He must have come back in then a lot because early in the – he got benched briefly in the first half because he missed a couple tackles.
On several tackles.
Yeah, they only credited him with two missed tackles, but I could have swore he had three or four. He's just trying those damn arm tackles. You can't arm tackle Mark Ingram. He's just too big.
He missed someone on the outside coming up, and then he missed it. He came down right in the hole and whiffed on a running back.
Yep. Starr got some good work, though. He played 46 snaps. He came out of it healthy. So it was good.
Yeah, a little more than I thought they would play.
Yeah.
Well, we were getting into positions for pressure the entire game, but he was throwing the ball out after 1.5 seconds so much that it just wasn't functionally possible. Which we've seen that game plan over and over again when we play soft zones. So it's kind of to be expected.
Yep.
Well, if you don't screw up and give up the punt return off the stupid penalty, you don't have to worry about it too much.
Yeah, I mean, the simple fact is they don't do that punt return for a touchdown, and this game doesn't look close in any way, shape, or form.
No. No, that punt return kept them in it. Because otherwise it's, 27-16. So, a little closer to what I was thinking it would be, even though I still put too high of a spread on it. So what do you guys think about this weekend, the Bucks? They, you know, did Winston play a little better last week? I think he did, didn't he?
A little better.
He hasn't played Josh Norman yet, though, has he?
Well, he hasn't. I mean, we're still in the point where playing well is a relative concept for the man.
Yeah. Well, he's only averaging 2 yards less than Cam Newton is passing.
Yeah, he's also completing barely 50% of his passes.
Yeah, he's 52%. Of course, Newton's only 56, but Newton's got a much better rating.
Yeah, he's 17-36 in his last game, with 261 yards, one touchdown, one interception. So not seeing that as a great game. I mean, he did better than Jimmy Clausen, but.
Okay. If you got to pull out that he did better than Jimmy Clausen. You're not really helping him out there, you know.
No. Okay, he did better than Josh McCowan.
Who did the Bears pick up and start instead of Clausen this past week?
Oh, did they pick somebody up?
Yeah, didn't they? All right, I have to look that up now. There it is. Oh, they got waxed by Seattle.
Well, I mean, they traded before.
Oh, no, Clausen did. Okay. Clausen did play that whole game.
Yeah. And threw for an entire 64 yards.
Oh,
I so want to go on the Bears blog and just go, if any of you have NFL Rewind, just go watch the Panthers 2010 season, and you've completed your season.
You even got a John Fox on the sideline managing it all.
John Fox coaching with Jimmy Clausen throwing the ball. That is the future of your season.
Yep. He was 9 of 17, 63 yards, 2 sacks, a long of 21, and a rating of 61.6.
They punted every single play, every single series. They punted the ball.
Oh, God, you're right. Well, at least he didn't throw any interceptions.
Well, right.
Yeah, they had 1, 2, 5. They had 10 punts, 10 drives, 10 punts. They only got on Seattle's side of the field one time.
Yeah,
to the 45, and that was after 11 plays.
Seattle was only up by 6-0.
Yeah.
At the end of the half. And then they got, like, a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown. Like, they didn't really do, like the score seems like they just dominated, which they did on defense, but their offense really was not that good.
Yeah. So, the Seattle game is not looking that tough for us, really, because you're right, the Bears are a terrible team, and they kicked 4 field goals. Basically,
yeah.
And Tyler Lockett had a kickoff return, and then the only offensive touchdown was a 30-yard pass to Jimmy Graham. So,
no, they actually passed it to Jimmy Graham. Good job, guys. We figured out how to
throw. He actually got involved
in
the offense this week. Yeah, scored a touchdown even. So
there are all sorts of questions. How do we get Jimmy Graham involved in the offense? I don't know. Let him run a seam route and throw it to him.
Yeah.
just run him
exactly.
Straight up the field and chuck it at him. He's a good tight end. It'll work. But, yeah. No, the Bears are on a fire sale at this point. They got rid of John Bostic. They got rid of Jared Allen. Maybe they're looking for some poor, benighted, drunk GM to trade Cutler to.
Yeah.
And get that salary off their books and just really play for the first round pick.
I think we got Jared Allen. We got Jared Allen for a steal because a 6-rounder and $800,000. I mean,
yeah.
And they paid like $8 million of his salary.
No, like, $11
million. Or $11 million, yeah.
Absolutely absurd. Now, we get a serviceable pass rusher at a position of need for $800,000 and a sixth-round pick, which is always a crapshoot anyway. We might get to keep him for 2 or 3 years and get some serviceable play out of him.
Yeah, we'll have to pay him a lot of money to keep him next year, but probably not $10 million or $12 million, whatever you got this year.
No, I don't think he has anything guaranteed, so I think it can be all just renegotiated without a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, if he performs, Getz may say, hey, I'll give you a 2-year deal. Come back and put up another 12 sacks.
Yeah. 12 sacks for $3 million sounds great, like a great deal to me.
Oh, but I tell you, this is just a move by Gettleman that again tells me the dude has a plan. He knows when something's too good to pass up, and he knows when he needs to take action. So,
and he knows that he needs depth. I mean, we could have stuck Mario Addison in the starting role, but he sat there and went, well, yeah, we still need depth.
Right.
So let's grab another player. Let's make sure that we've got the right number of players we need to make this work.
Yep. So I love the move.
Now, if he could just get a wide receiver that could immediately make an impact.
Still can't believe we missed on James Jones. But...
hey, maybe the Bears.
Hell, maybe in a couple games the Ravens will trade Smitty back to us for a 7th round pick.
They'll just tank their season. Fozzie Newsome will be like, fuck it. We're going to get the 1st round pick. We're going to compete with the Bears.
Yeah.
Smitty's
going to retire anyway. Let them pay the rest of his salary. Going to retire in a Panther uniform.
Oh, yeah, no, everybody will get what they want. He can be back in Charlotte. He can see his kids. He can, you know, get past the ball 5 or 6 times and, you know, beat up a bunch of cornerbacks.
Puncture them.
Puncture them.
Yep.
We can get another quote for the intro.
He what?
Get another quote for the intro of the show.
Yeah.
It's running a little long in the tooth since neither player is a Panther anymore, but...
Well, I mean, the Ravens are going nowhere fast. First 0-3 start in their franchise history.
Well, they lost Terrell Suggs. Their defense is about... They have to make some real moves on defense to have a competent defense again.
Yeah, their defense is really hurt.
And basically they've got Steve Smith as a receiver and
And their first-round draft pick is injured. Rashad Perryman, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a rookie. It's kind of hard to lay too much at a rookie's feet. I mean,
well,
we've pretty much
matter.
Got nothing out of Funches so far.
Well, Funches was always going to be, you know, I mean, you know how rare it is for a wide receiver or multiple wide receivers to come out and have 1,000-yard seasons?
Yeah.
I mean, we should never have expected that to be, like, the normal.
Yeah.
So Funches,
like,
you know,
what KB did, yeah,
along.
With 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns, you know, I think we're only now fully appreciating what a great season he had.
Yeah, or what Odell Beckham did, or what
Mike Evans.
Or Mike Evans did. I mean, that's stupid level rare that ever happened. So that's likely the best wide receiver class that's come out of the draft in 10 or 15, maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we got a
1,000-yard
really receiver in what, the 28th, 26th pick?
Mm-hmm.
So Funches, I can see Funches really contributing sometime around the town game.
Yeah. He's got three catches so far, 38 yards. Hell, Amari Cooper is the only one doing anything out of the rookies. 20
mm-hmm.
receptions for 290 and a TD. But there's not another rookie receiver out there really tearing it up.
Yeah, Dorial Green-Beckham, which I remember everybody was sitting there screaming at us to grab in like the 19th round.
Who?
Is Dorial Green-Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's only got three catches.
One for
a touchdown. Two touchdowns, yeah.
It. Yeah, I mean, they basically, when they're in the red zone, they line them up and go, run toward the end zone and catch a ball. Because he's so big. But he doesn't know how to run routes at this point at all.
Still,
I mean, you basically got a bunch of people coming out of college. And this was another article I read recently that was talking about offensive linemen. And just why in the world does it seem like 80% of the teams in the NFL have awful offensive lines. And a couple of coaches were basically saying spread offenses in college make it so that nobody's taught how to be a offensive lineman in the NFL. So you've got wide receivers that are constantly, you know, they run three routes the entire time in college, and it's like, can you run an entire route tree? No. And so it takes a couple years to get them up. But going back to Steve Smith, the last player to do what Steve Smith has done in the last three games over the age of 35 was Jerry Rice.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And I think with a full context, which needs to get, you know, faxed to the – I'm not sure they use email at the Hall of Fame. It might be too modern for them.
good one.
But context stats might be really important to get Steve Smith into the Hall of Fame. I think in 2005, the Panthers threw the ball – less than any other team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve
yeah.
Smith had the most catches, most receptions, most yards, and most touchdowns of any receiver.
Yep. We threw the ball
and that was
9 out of 10 times. Yeah. And nobody could cover him.
Yeah. Well, until Seattle put 4 people on him.
Yeah.
that was such a dispiriting game. But going back 10 years, oh, that 2005 NFC championship game.
I remember it vividly. Yep, Smitty's now 5th in the NFL right now with 25 receptions. Got
wow.
2 TDs, too. But 7 catches of 20 yards or longer is 2nd in the NFL. Of course, you know, Flacco's got a big arm. He can throw a deep ball.
Yeah, except a lot of this is yards after the catch from what I've read of the stats.
Yeah, no, that's true.
He catches a ball and then he punches a safety and then keeps running.
Yeah.
I think the best part
yeah.
for Smitty is that they're starting to have the Hall of Fame conversation when his name comes up. I saw, I think it was last month on First Take, they were asking, is he a first-round Hall of Famer? And I believe 2 out of the 3 panelists said that he was in their mind.
Huh.
So, you know, just the fact that he's coming up in these kind of conversations. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was Brian Dawkins who said that Steve Smith was probably the hardest player to tackle that he probably ever played against and that he would definitely vote for him for the first ballot Hall of Fame. I think it was between
well,
him and
Well, he's a very
T.O.
small block of muscle.
He is, man. Dude is strong, strong hands. Like I said, if you ever shook his hand, you'd think it was a vice.
Well, you ever saw he'd go up for a catch, he'd get hit, which they call as a defenseless receiver now, and the only thing that would move would be his head. His head would snap,
yeah.
But the rest of his body just stayed straight, as if he was like this enormously tense muscle that caught the ball, and then he'd like get hit, you know, fly through the air 5 yards, hit the ground, and then start running.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, talk about tough. How about the touchdown he caught and got his arm busted and
yeah,
he still
yeah.
hung on against the Giants, like the second to last game of the season or something when we weren't going anywhere, but took that big shot, actually broke his arm and just held it to his side as he walked off the field, you know, still held on to the ball. You know, and
so just, caught the ball,
just trotted off the
arm.
Field holding his arm. You could tell he was hurt, but he wasn't letting them know.
Yeah.
Just a tough SOB, man. Tough.
He's the old-time football player. He's a warrior.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, with his run-blocking ability and his, I mean, you're basically looking at, I mean, you can think of wide receivers today that wouldn't have been able to work in sort of the tightening up of the rules. I can easily see Steve Smith have been able to play in the dead ball era and catch a lot of balls.
Yeah.
You know, back when cornerbacks were able to tackle the receiver before the ball got there.
If I had to pick one guy,
the pass
that
interference
I'd go...
was a quaint concept. Of course, I interfered with the pass. What else are you supposed to do?
So the Panthers are only 3-point favorites this weekend. I thought that sounded a little low. Yeah, they're only giving up 3. I'd be tempted to take that Panthers minus 3.
I mean, their defense, the only way I could see that is if their defense is running on all cylinders, but I haven't seen anything. I mean, I haven't seen any other games. But are the Bucs any good at defense?
I doubt it.
Yeah. Based on Football Outsiders, they're mediocre.
Oh, yeah, I was just looking at that, too, when the DVOA.
Yeah. But it doesn't seem, I mean, they've got a great linebacker. They've got a great defensive tackle. And they've got some other pieces on defense. But that's the only thing. I mean, their offense. You've got a 50% passer, and I'm not sure what they've got in respect to their running game.
Tampa Bay is dead last in DVOA offense, 10th in defense, 19 in special teams. So the defense is okay, but they're not going to run the ball. And you know
they're not
going
to be able to pass the ball.
Yeah, we're going to be able to put some pressure on Winston. He's going to chuck some of those up there. Probably another pick six by Norman as he breaks on one of those out routes.
Yeah, maybe Ben Wickery can get one. Let's.
Yeah.
I mean, Charles Tillman
or
you
Shaq
know,
Thompson.
Everybody gets a pick six next game. It's like Christmas has come early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope we douse them.
I just want to destroy them and then you know,
destroy them.
just you know, no hope.
No mercy. Yeah, no mercy. Crush their souls.
Yeah. Well, we need a identifying win to tell us that we're a good team, and good teams destroy bad teams. So we functionally need to just go in and destroy them, so that we know that we're a good team. Because if we win like 22-14, it's sort of like eh. But, you know, if we win, like, 35-0, I'm good stuff.
Man.
We're a good team.
Hey, Patriots didn't take it easy on the Jags. They put up 51 on their ass.
Exactly.
So.
I mean, the only reason I say 35 is because Ron Rivera would take Cam Newton out of the game at that point.
Yeah.
But I think actually what happened with the Jags is because the Bills came back in the last game within 7 points in the last quarter, and so the hoodie of justice or whatever his name is, Darth Hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Has basically been like, we're going to finish games. I don't care how far we are ahead. We're going to finish games because apparently if we don't, then the other team can come back because we're not that good. I think their offense is really good. I'm not sure about their defense.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just have a friend that is a fan of New England, which is fair because he's from the area, so it's he's not a bandwagon fan, but so I have to pay attention to them a lot when we talk about football. That and I really want to meet them in the Super Bowl and destroy them so that I can wipe away 2003 from my mouth and I don't have to worry. It's my grand hope that we meet New England in the Super Bowl. We tear apart Tom Brady's knee. His wide receivers all go down with some type of maligned injury, and then we win by 50 points.
Oh, you're getting out there now. Now you're getting out there. Shit, we're down to 2 minutes, fellas. Damn, where'd the hour and a half go?
I talked
all
right, the entire
well,
time. I apologize.
No, it's all right, Parm. So, what's your score prediction?
With the way we played, I'm guessing 28 to 10.
I'm going with 31-13. What I predicted last week. I think this week's week it'll come true. 31-13. Let's see. Kais, are you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What do you think? You got a prediction?
I'm going with 27-16.
27-16?
Yep.
Okay. John, you still out there?
27-10.
There we go. Chris?
31-17.
Well, wouldn't surprise me, though, if we put 40 up on them. But the thing is, we just run the ball out rather than try to score. All right, guys, we're down to our last minute here, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. But I appreciate everyone that's called in and join the chat. Join the conversation. You know where to check us out, catchgrassreader.com, and we'll do it again next week after we put an ass-whipping on the Bucks this Sunday. At least I hope so. That's me knocking on wood right there, so if we lose, you can't blame it on me. But, again, I appreciate it. You guys have a good evening.